This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan. It's been an eventful few days for our political parties, so tonight we're looking at the events of the last week and trying to make sense of them. First, we discuss the meetings the Yang Di Prithwan Agong had with various party leaders. And then we look at the proposal to set up a National Operations Council. Finally, we get a sense of what developments to look out for next. So let us know, how are you feeling about these political developments that happened this week? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. So lots of things happened this week. The biggest is probably the various meetings that the Agong had with various party leaders at the Istana Negara. And from reports, the issues that were discussed involved mainly the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the potential ending of the emergency. So just to run through the list of the meetings that were held. So the Prime Minister had a standing weekly pre-cabinet meeting with the Agong on Wednesday, and that was when Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin spoke to the Agong. And then on Wednesday as well, the Agong met with opposition leaders Anwar Ibrahim, Lim Guan Eng, and Mohammad Sabu. Yesterday, the Agong met with past Deputy President Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man, MCA President Wee Ka Siong, Parti Pejuang Pro Tem Chairperson Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, as well as Warisan President Mohammad Shafi Abdal. So all of these essentially caused a week of many rumors and conversations about what to expect, what might happen next, all of which haven't really been answered. A lot of speculations flying around. And amidst this, of course, we heard of the a little bit of controversy, really, involving a series of supposed statutory declarations. PKR has criticized what it claims are renewed efforts by certain groups of MPs to collect these statutory declarations of support. Now, they didn't name the MPs or the parties that they were associated with, but essentially, PKR Communications Director Fahmi Fazil said that those seeking these SD endorsements were setting themselves up to get high-rank government positions. And he said that these MPs were claiming to have received blessings from the Agong. However, Fahmi said that these claims can't be true, as Malaysia is a constitutional monarchy. And he went on to criticize this as a quote-unquote disgusting attempt at securing positions and profits for a small faction during a time of national crisis. Now, moving on to further developments, we had Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, who revealed that he had proposed that we set up a National Operations Council when he met with the Agong. Now, the National Operations Council, which is also known as, has been known as Mageran in the past, was set up during the emergency that was declared after the May 13th incidents. However, he's proposing that we set it up now. He did say that he wasn't sure whether the proposal would get an approval because it is meant to be proposed by the government of the day. And he doesn't think that our government currently would propose something like that. He does think, however, that he would be suited to lead the National Operations Council if the government wanted it. Responses to this proposal has, needless to say, been quite vocal and from both sides of the divide, really. So Marzuki Mohamad, who is Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's principal private secretary, called the proposal unsuitable and said that it would be a step backwards. He further said that this would inhibit the government from being able to put in place plans and efforts. And he said that May 13th was a security emergency and not a health emergency like we have now. Meanwhile, on the other side, Pakatan Harapan also rejected the proposal. And they maintain that the state of emergency needs to end immediately. And essentially, they're calling for Parliament to resume and not for something like the NOC to be established. So that's where we're at today. You know, as we come to the end of the week, a lot of questions still hanging in the air, a lot of questions about what we can expect next week. So we'll be trying to unpack some of those in the next hour. But we'd love to hear from you. How are you feeling about these political developments? How are you feeling about the events that happened over the course of this week? You can call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll speak with Adib Zalkapli, director of Bauer Group Asia, and to understand a little bit more about those meetings that the Agung has had. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is 6:13. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. And today we are unpacking the many political events that happened this week, starting with the meetings that the Agung had with various political party leaders. So we'd like to hear from you. How are you feeling about the things that have been happening? You can call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now joining us on Zoom is Adib Zalkapli, director of Bauer Group Asia. Adib, thank you for being with us.
Hi, thank you, Sharmila.
So the various leaders who have met up with the Agung, they've been pretty tight-lipped about what they spoke about. What do we know about the events that happened?
Well, firstly, we don't really know for sure what was discussed. I don't know, everything happened behind closed doors. But I think generally looking at the reports, we can summarize that. I think there are three broad proposals. I think one is, I guess, somebody must have suggested status quo, with the country continue to be under emergency and with the current government remains in power. And the other option could be, you know, the end of emergency, suggested by opposition, Pakatan Harapan, with parliament reconvenes as soon as possible. I think these are also similar proposal put forward by AMNO from the statement from the party president. And then thirdly, I think we another proposal we saw was the formation of a national operation council to basically, I don't know, perhaps that implies suspension of cabinet and with a new person, not so new person, to lead this council to have the executive powers of the cabinet.
So what might have factored into the Agung's decision to start meeting these different party leaders now? Why did the palace take the step?
Well, my best guess is that His Majesty is exercising his constitutional role to see what are the next steps. As we are, you know, as you know, in the final months of the emergency period. And I think at the same time, Malaysia is also arguably at its lowest point in the fight against COVID-19. So as the monarch, I mean, his role as the stabilizing figure in our parliamentary democracy, I think consulting political party leaders who form the elected parliament is, I guess, is a natural step.
And in your view, what are the priorities of these various political factions now? Maybe we should start with the federal government, which in itself has fractures within it.
Yeah, I think for the federal government, they are in a unique position, in a position to win. So, for example, for the federal government, with all its resources and its responsibilities, and it's also playing the leading role in the fight against the pandemic. So that should be its priority. I guess looking at the science, it has to ramp up the vaccination rate, lower the hospitalization rate of COVID-19 patients, lower the number of infections. And on the economic front, perhaps cash transfers to the most to those most affected by the pandemic. I think that would help the government in stabilizing public support for the Perikatan National Coalition.
And what about the opposition? What might they be seeking?
Well, the opposition is, you know, because they are outside, they are under-resourced. They don't have the resources to deal with the pandemic. You know, they do provide limited support in terms of ferrying people to vaccination centers and all. But they could still play their role, their key role as in holding the government to account. So this is best done through parliament. So I guess the opposition is doing the right thing by asking for parliament to be reconvened, because that is the only legitimate platform where the opposition can play its role. And also on the side, it should also prepare for the general election.
Now, we have seen a lot of statements being issued. What are some of the reactions over the last week that have stood out to you?
Well, I guess for me, the most bizarre is probably the request for the National Operation Council to be formed to replace the administration. Simply because I think if the problem is a political deadlock, right, then this NOC is not a solution. So because I think the solution to a political dialogue, I think, should be found through democratic institutions like parliament or even the general election when it is safe to do so. So we can't solve a political crisis, if you like, with less democracy.
And getting to those statutory declarations or SDs that people have been talking about, this drive for them to collect, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I think there's been rumors been going around since last night about collecting SDs. But like it or not, this is how the Prime Minister is appointed in our system. So any ambitious MP, any ambitious minister is free to approach his fellow MPs, get at least 112 of them or 111 of them to declare support. So of course, there's a question of ethics, right? But I guess in politics, especially in Malaysia, where the winner takes all, you can't be too ethical in playing this game.
Now, considering the fact that this emergency was meant to prevent political maneuvering, and yet we constantly find ourselves analysing these sorts of headlines, have we reached a point in Malaysian politics where these sorts of moves are just inevitable?
Well, I guess we have to accept this as our new normal. You know, the era of a strong government with only a single viable political coalition when BN was in power is over. So this will continue in the coming years. You know, but as you know, Malaysia is racially diverse, ideologically diverse. So it's only natural that we have a very diverse political fronts representing or competing on behalf of different interests, different demographics. So this is the reality we have to live with or without the emergency.
And of course, let's not forget that the pandemic is still very much a reality, right? How do you think this will factor into any decisions that are made as a result of these events?
Well, I think as of now, I think general election is out of the question, simply because I think we are far from reaching herd immunity. I mean, I think the consensus is not to hold general election until it's safe to do so. You know? So we probably have to get much, much closer to herd immunity before I think any major decisions can be made about the next steps after the emergency period.
And are you anticipating major shifts in our political landscape in the short term?
Well, anything can happen. I mean, we saw a major realignment in February last year. So that can still happen. I mean, that set the precedent, you know, for political parties, for MPs to shift alliance as they like. So yeah, from now until the end of emergency or until parliament is dissolved, anything can happen.
And on that note then, is there a likelihood that we might see a new government forming?
Well, I won't rule that out. There's always that possibility, given that I think the precedent has been set last year on how a new prime minister or new government should be formed, you know, by having one leader with the majority support, you know, through statutory declarations. So anything can happen. So if tonight or tomorrow, you know, 112 of them decide to support a certain candidate, then yeah, we might see that happening.
Adib, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
That was Adib Zalkapli, director of Bauer Group Asia, speaking to us about the meetings that the Agung has been having with various political party leaders. And we'd like to hear from you. How are you feeling about these political developments that have happened this week? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we do have a message from Dinbella who says, I'm so tired of Malaysian politics. I know it's not the case, but it feels like everything from Lanka Sheraton to now is just a months-long mudslinging match with competing statements and press conferences. If there was anything the emergency should have theoretically given us, it was supposed to be some blessed silence. But here we are. Whatever's going to happen, I just want it to be over with. May we not have announcements about upcoming announcements. You know, I think that just about speaks for practically everyone. These constant back and forths, these constant leaks and press conferences that lead to nothing. It's really been so fatiguing for so many of us. And let's not forget, it's coming at the time when we are also dealing with the pandemic. So I think you speak for a lot of people, Dindela. And we'd love to hear from you. Are you also fatigued by these constant shifts and developments when it comes to our political scene? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And just to call your attention to something we have coming up, Malaysia is an aging nation, and by 2030, 15% of our population will be above the age of 65. Are we prepared to support the health and social challenges faced by our senior citizens? Join our discussion with Professor Zamberi Sekawi, chairman of the Malaysian Influenza Working Group, and Dr. Nora Nakia Hairi, professor of epidemiology and public health, University of Malaya, on Monday, 14th of June at 4 p.m. And now, some music before we head on to the news. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is just coming up to 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. And today we are looking back at the political events that happened over the course of the last week. So earlier we discussed the meetings that the Agung had with various party leaders. And now we're going to be looking at one aspect that has got quite a bit of attention, which is a suggestion by Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad that we establish a National Operations Council. So that's what we're going to be looking at now. But we'd like to hear from you. How are you feeling about the events of the last week? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we have on the line with us Emeritus Professor Datuk Dr. Shad Salim Faruqi, Professor of Constitutional Law at University of Malaya. Prof, thank you for joining us today. First off, what do you make of the suggestion to establish a National Operations Council now?
Well, the proposal is obviously inspired by 1969 emergency where there was a National Operations Council. But one must remember that between 1969 and today, there are definite differences about the situation. In 1969, there was no parliament in existence, because parliament had been dissolved, elections were called, they had not yet been completed when the riots broke out. Today, on the other hand, there is an elected parliament. Also, in 12 out of the 13 states, there are state assemblies within their five-year term. I know that Sarawak's term came to an end a few days ago, but it has been extended due to the emergency. So one very significant difference is that we have today a parliament in existence and state assemblies in existence. The second very significant difference between 69 and today is that in 69, since parliament had been dissolved, the prime minister was a caretaker prime minister. And in constitutional law, a caretaker prime minister's advice is not binding on the young Dipertuanagong under the famous case of, I think, Muhammad Amin, Muhammad Razali, 2000. Whereas today, there is a duly appointed prime minister under Article 43, Clause 2, with a cabinet in place, and it's a huge cabinet. So the analogies with 1969 are understandable, but at the same time, one must remember that the situation was quite different. In 69, there was a different type of emergency. Today, it's more of a health situation, a health emergency, a situation of economic devastation, which do qualify as an emergency.
So back in 1969, how did the National Operations Council function and what did it achieve?
Well, in 1969, the NOC was basically replacing the cabinet. It had about 10 to 12 members only, a very small committee, though of course supported by subcommittees. It had the finest technocrats, and basically their aim was to try to restore unity after the convulsions of the racial riots. Today is different because the issues are so different. If there is to be an NOC today, it will have to have medical experts, it will have to have towering economists, and I would think politicians should have a very little role. I'm not denying that there should be some politicians. For example, legally speaking, if there is to be an NOC, because there is a prime minister in place and his advice is binding on the young Di Pertuanegong, so technically, constitutionally speaking, it's the prime minister who must advise the setting up of the NOC. The young Di Pertuanegong cannot take this initiative on his own. Then, of course, bear in mind, emergency comes to an end on August 1. There is already a sunset clause, a time limit. So we'll have to have a new emergency after August 1. There'll have to be a new ordinance passed to provide for the National Operations Council. To me, the speculative issues are this. Will the NOC replace the cabinet? Or will the cabinet stay in place and the NOC will simply be an advisory body? But then if it's an advisory body, we already have a independent special committee under Section 2, Clause 1 of the 14th January Emergency Ordinance. So the composition of the NOC, will it replace the cabinet? Will it replace the parliament? Will it be advisory or will it be the effective executive body of the country? We do not really know about that. I think we have to wait and see. And of course, the issue will be who will appoint. Will it be on the prime minister's advice? Or will the young Di Pertuanegong exercise his own discretion? As I said earlier, if there is a prime minister already in place under Article 43, Clause 2, then the young Di Pertuanegong is bound by the advice of the PM. But if the Prime Minister loses the confidence of the House, let us say the House comes back to session and the PM loses the confidence of the House on a vote, then the young Di Pertuanegong is not bound by the advice of a Prime Minister under Article 43, Clause 4. Then the situation is very different. So in some while the NOC is perfectly possible under the law, we cannot simply borrow the template of 1969.
So just to clarify, can the NOC only be established with an emergency ordinance in place?
It has to. It cannot be an ordinary law because under the ordinary law, the executive power of the Federation resides in the Prime Minister and the Cabinet and the civil service. If this constitutional arrangement has to be replaced with an NOC, you need an emergency law to suspend Article 43, Clause 2, at least partly, and to replace the cabinet and the cabinet's powers and functions with an NOC. Don't forget that the cabinet must belong to parliament. The Prime Minister must belong to the Dewan Raya, whereas the NOC members will actually, by necessity, will have to be technocrats, members of the army, members of the police, members of the civil service, academicians, medical experts, economists, Adiba Kamaruzama, Jomo Sundaram, people of that sort, who are obviously not constitutionally qualified to be holding executive powers. So we are in new territory.
Now, some have commented that establishing a body like the NOC would lead to a more draconian style of control. And you mentioned earlier that the NOC may look differently today, but is this a significant concern to you?
I don't agree with that suggestion. As it is, we have an emergency. Parliament is under suspension. The cabinet has almost unlimited power of lawmaking, of financial control over the nation. So the idea that if there is an NOC, the NOC would make things worse, I'm not so sure why that fear or suspicion comes along. The NOC may consist of experts who actually may supply not only check and balance, but may supply the expert knowledge that may be needed. You see, in parliamentary democracies, the cabinet consists of MPs from the Dewan Raya and the Dewan Nagara. So the Prime Minister's pool of talent is limited to politicians from the two houses. The NOC, on the other hand, would be like the American president's cabinet, where he can draw on the talent of the entire nation. So I think the NOC's powers would be emergency powers, just like the cabinet's powers today are emergency powers. So on this point, that things will grow worse in terms of absolute power, I don't think that fear is justified.
Prof, you mentioned check and balance earlier. Are there ways to ensure that there is check and balance of this NOC?
Oh, yes, yes. Much depends actually on the role of the NOC, its composition, if it has towering personalities with integrity, with ability, I think that would be important. Secondly, much will also depend on whether it will replace Parliament or Parliament would be allowed to continue to function. Because please do bear this in mind, that proclamation of emergency does not anywhere require Parliament to be marginalized. In fact, under Article 150, Clause 3, a proclamation of emergency must be laid before Parliament. Parliament has the power to annul the emergency. Parliament has the power to annul or reject the emergency ordinances. And of course, the judiciary should be allowed to function. The newspapers should not be curtailed in their function. So they will supply the check and balance if these checks and balances are put in place.
Prof, thank you for speaking with us today. That was Emeritus Professor Datuk Dr. Shad Salim Farooqi, Professor of Constitutional Law at University of Malaya, speaking to us about the proposed National Operations Council that was suggested earlier this week. We're looking at the political events of the last 1 week. If you have thoughts on them, how have they made you feel? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll be joined by Jahabar Sadiq, editor of the Malaysian Insight, to look at what we can expect in the coming week. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:51. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila, and we're looking back at the political unfoldings over the course of the last week, various meetings, various potential announcements of announcements. We're just trying to make sense of all the things that have happened, and we'd like to hear from you. How are you feeling about these political developments? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is Jahabar Sadiq, editor of the Malaysian Insight. Jahabar, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
So, from your observations, what sorts of developments might we see in the coming week?
Well, I think we need all these meetings to finish, and it'll be capped by the rulers, special rulers conference on the 16th. And I think after that, then you'll get some clarity as to what will happen going forward. If anything, this is just similar to what happened in the last week of February in 2020 when Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad unexpectedly resigned and was interim Prime Minister for a few days before they chose a Prime Minister. So, we're just replaying that 15 months later, because obviously the last 15 months has not been great for the country. Beyond the pandemic, there's still politicking. Parliament is not called into session. So I guess they are looking at it from another point of view as to how to resolve all these issues as it stands today.
So speaking of that, based on your years of covering Malaysian news and Malaysian politics, are you seeing any patterns of history perhaps repeating itself?
Well, I think the only thing that's repeating itself is that there's a lot of excitement, and then it'll be an anti-climax, and nobody will be happy enough, right? I mean, everybody will be, some people will be happy, some will be unhappy. So I don't expect any major resolution from the meetings this week and next week. I think at best, we can only hope that emergency is lifted on August 1st. Parliament can be reconvened, and the people leave it to the 220 existing MPs. I hope no one else has died to resolve the issues of the day. I think that's all we can expect as of now.
So, who do you think are some key figures that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think the key figures are the nine rulers who will have a meeting on June 16th. When they met previously, they came to certain decisions, and then they also disagreed to have an emergency, which was later implemented anyway. The Prime Minister, I think, will still remain Prime Minister for a while. I don't see any change at this point in time. But the reality is, even if we name anyone, any other personality who have a shot at becoming Prime Minister or running the country, it won't solve anything beyond to the satisfaction of a few people in the country, because it's not a political solution. The solution for this country is to actually get Parliament to sit down and decide whether this government has a majority to carry on what it wants to do, or they need to form a new government and get on with the task at hand of curing us of this pandemic, at least ramping up vaccination, having more tests, because we can't keep going on through MCOs and no MCOs. You know, today they announced extending it by another 2 weeks. It's not a choice of lives or livelihoods. It's both, right? So as long as you have this kind of situation, this country can't get out of it. The borders will be closed. There won't be any investment. There's no clarity. You know, at this point in time, I think we just have a government in name, but no real execution of its plans going forward, right? I mean, except for vaccination and then some kind of testing. So you need a government with a stable majority of sorts to run its program and all get kicked out in the next elections. And at this point in time, I think there is no hope of an election. So the only hope we have is a parliament that meets and decides what it wants to do.
Jahabar, thanks for speaking with us today.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you.
That was Jahabar Sadiq, editor of the Malaysian Insight, helping us make some sense of what we can look forward to. And we'd love to hear from you. How are you feeling about these recent political developments? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some music coming up, What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.